I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is November 16, 2008. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today we're going to look into argument number 26 from the website of famed skeptic debunker Winston Wu. Argument number 26 from skeptics states, New Age philosophies are just childish fantasies for dealing with a cold, uncaring world. Winston, it's too bad you can't see the truth in that. Winston says, this is another biased statement of belief. A lot of psychic experiences don't come as fantasies, but as first-hand direct experiences. Winston, those can be fantasies, misperceptions, or any of a number of other things. Winston says, often the experiencer doesn't even choose to have them in the first place, as in the accounts of those who have sudden near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences. Winston, whether one chooses to have them or not, has no bearing on whether or not they are real. Winston says, mature adults who are not childish in attitude or behavior have had paranormal or psychic experiences. There are also many tough people, both mentally and physically, who believe in God, too. Winston, if they were so tough, they wouldn't be down on their knees trembling in fear of an invisible imaginary man. Winston says, in addition, even if a belief or religion is used to cope with life, that doesn't mean that that belief or religion is false. Winston, using a belief or religion to cope with life doesn't have any bearing on whether the religion is true or false. Winston says, I can use music or reading to relax myself, but that doesn't mean that music and books don't exist. Winston, sometimes you say things that are so far removed from the world of logic that even I am speechless. This is one of those times. Now Winston deals with argument number 28 from skeptics that says, since evolution and natural selection are sufficient to explain the origins of life, there is no need for God to fit into the equation. Winston replies to that argument, although evolution and natural selection may explain how life evolved on Earth with random mutations resulting in beneficial characteristics more suitable for survival, there are many missing links in this theory. Winston, so what? There are missing links in everything. You even said yourself that we cannot possibly know everything. So when it suits your purpose, you use lack of absolute certainty to support your beliefs. And then you turn around and attack your opponents because they cannot offer absolute certainty. The sad thing is, Winston, that you cannot even see what you are doing, even when it is as obvious as in the case I just illustrated. Winston states, any creationist website or article can point some of these out, while I personally do believe in evolution. Stop right there, Winston. I must take a moment to pick myself up off the floor. Despite all the mean things I've said to you, the fact that you have been able to finally get one right is worth noting. Many creationists, and I'm including trained scientists, will go to great lengths to try to defend the literal interpretation of the Bible by attacking evolution. The fact that you have accepted what many will not is deserving of praise. I didn't think you had it in you. I was wrong. Winston goes on, I do not believe that it explains everything, nor do I believe that it rules out the existence of God. Greg Stone from my discussion list put it eloquently when he said, not only is there a residue of feeling, but there is a sound argument that Darwinian evolution is not big enough. Darwinian evolution deals with the specific nature of the evolution of biological forms on this planet, and it fails to account entirely even for that realm. It does not account for the overall evolution of complexity within the universe, which then leads to the special case of Darwinian evolution. Winston, Stone got it wrong there. Evolution has nothing to do with the universe, only with the evolution of life on Earth. Greg Stone continues, it does not account for the origin of life forms, and most importantly, it in no way accounts for the existence of the spirit and the spirit's effect upon the evolution of forms. Winston, Stone got it right there. Evolution says nothing about the origin of life. That is abiogenesis. Additionally, Stone is correct that evolution has nothing to say about spirituality. Greg Stone continues, thus, Darwinian evolution is incomplete when it comes to explaining life. Winston, we both agreed long ago that nothing in science is complete when it comes to explaining anything. Only religion claims absolute certainty. But incompleteness does nothing to lessen the theory. Greg Stone continues, and those like Dawkins, Blackmore, Pinker, etc., who try to make Darwinian evolution do more than it can, will be seen in the long run to have been quite foolish. Winston, your hero is starting to piss me off when he insults my heroes. The scientist Stone is denigrating never tried to make evolution do more than it can. If Stone wants to criticize them and predict they will look foolish, he should state exactly what they said, not make some vague accusation to which no one can reply. He continues, furthermore, it has been computed as impossible for life to evolve by chance on its own because of the astronomical impossibility of the conditions for life being set up by chance. Winston, you think by using the word computed that people will be more likely to accept your claim. Give us some credit, Winston. Google the Miller-Urey experiment of 1953, and you will find that that bridge has already been crossed. They did it. Get over it. As for the odds argument, that is a trick that believers use to get people to accept that things are impossible, except for what they themselves want to believe. They manipulate numbers and arrive at some ungodly large number and claim, see, it's impossible. This works on most people because of the embarrassing state of mathematics in modern American society. It doesn't work with anyone trained in statistics and probability theory, or even a solid math background. Unfortunately, that doesn't include a lot of people. Funny how these same people who calculate impossible odds for scientific events are the same people who don't calculate the odds against unicorns or Bigfoot. He goes on, theist J.P. Moreland presented the arguments for this using math and science in his debate against atheist Kai Nielsen, described in the book Does God Exist? In his debate with atheist Kyle Nielsen, Moreland explains with math and science why chance alone could not explain how the conditions for life evolved. Winston, you keep repeating math and science to try to lend credence to what the theist presented. Your purpose is to make readers believe that only the theist used math and science. What the theist did was misuse math and science. His argument rested on the logical fallacy of big numbers, in which the overwhelming size of numbers is used as proof of an argument. Let me destroy this argument for you right now. What are the odds, Winston, that all of the millions of ancestors that preceded you survived and reproduced so that you could be here today? The odds are incalculable. Now, what are the odds, Winston, that all of the millions of ancestors that preceded me survived and reproduced so that I could be here today? Also incalculable. So what are the odds now, Winston, that you and I could be standing in the same room at the same moment having a conversation? Incalculable times incalculable equals incalculable squared. In other words, Winston, it is statistically impossible for you and I to ever meet and have a conversation because the odds against either of our ancestors surviving millions of years under dangerous conditions are just too great to even imagine. Yet, here we are. Winston, you have been taken in by an argument that is specious. I like the word specious. It fits perfectly. It means subtly false. Skepticism teaches you how to defend yourself against specious arguments. Unfortunately, Winston has chosen to fight skepticism and allow himself to turn to the dark side. Once there, it is almost impossible to ever get back. It is now the ego which blocks his path, and that is a stone that even Christ would have had a hard time rolling away from the entrance. He goes on, "While this field is not my expertise..." Winston, what field would be your expertise? He continues, "One can find plenty of literature on the creation versus evolution debate in libraries and bookstores, as well as on the internet. The evolution-creation debate is a vast and complicated subject, but one thing the atheist can never explain is who set up the vastly improbable default conditions for life to evolve in the first place." Winston, you fell for another specious argument. I just love that word. The improbable default conditions argument works very similar to the impossible odds argument and is equally as worthless. The argument attempts to make the case that because the conditions for the kind of life that exists on Earth are so restrictive that only God could have done it, they usually quote six factors and then explain how improbable each of them are. But if the universe had evolved in a different way, then it is unlikely that our life form would have come into existence. But whatever life form did come into existence would be asking the same question. The fact that the life we are familiar with can only exist under specific conditions, one of which is the requirement for liquid water, doesn't mean that other types of life are prevented from existing under other conditions. In either case, God is irrelevant. The fact that any life form, whether ours or another completely different kind, exists does not prove that an intelligent being created it. Now, if there was proof of a creator, that would be different. But true believers, like Winston, want us to believe that his extremely shy God prefers to hide amongst the clouds while we all play guessing games. They claim that they have a magic book with all the answers and that it is proof that their imaginary God really exists. They don't offer any proof, only threats of horrible things that their loving God will do to you if you fail to accept what they tell you to accept. Personally, I've never reacted well to threats. I prefer proof. He goes on, "Where did the matter to create the universe and life come from?" Winston, I could ask you the same question, yet you have no problem accepting that God can violate the first law of thermodynamics and magically create everything out of nothing. So it is dishonest of you to pretend that you can't believe that matter could come from nothing when that is exactly what you believe. He goes on, "Why isn't the universe a giant void of nothing instead?" Winston, if you were to pull yourself out of that arcade for a few hours and go to the library and open an astronomy book instead of all those books on ghosts you're so fond of, you might learn that the universe is almost a giant void of nothing. You concentrate on what you can see. You don't have a clue about all the stuff you can't see. For instance, let's take a human. You may think you are solid. You pinch yourself and assure yourself that this is true. In reality, you are nothing more than an assemblage of atoms. These atoms are mostly empty space. You are mostly empty space. This is especially true in your case, Winston, of the area between your ears. He goes on, "It's kind of like this. We know the mechanics behind how and why a pot boils, but that doesn't tell us about the person who puts the pot on the stove." Winston, you're shifting into stupid mode again. He goes on, "Some atheists also like to point out that the need for belief in God can also be explained by evolution. However, David Marshall, a Christian missionary and philosopher, rebuts that point well when he stated on my email discussion list, to make the jump from evolution can explain belief in God to there is no God, without involved argument, would be the generic fallacy again. Winston, that is why skeptics do not say there is no God. They say there is no proof of God's existence. We already agreed that you cannot disprove the existence of God. He goes on, to repeat my earlier example, even if you can explain the human ability to do math by evolution, that does not prove math is invalid. Winston, repeating it didn't make it any less stupid than it was the first time. He goes on, in theory, it should be possible, given your presuppositions, to show how the human faculty for mathematics arose through natural processes. That does not mean E equals mc squared does not accurately describe real events in the real universe. The fact that evolution may have created an awareness of dependency on one's mother on a child's part does not mean real mothers do not exist and do not care for their children. Jesus, Winston, you sound like you're blowing crack again. Do you even realize that you don't make any sense at all? Even in your imaginary, irrational world, I don't see how you can connect evolution creating awareness with non-existent, uncaring mothers. I think I finally realize what the Christian hell is. It would be spending one day in your mind. He goes on, in the same way, even if you were able to describe the evolution of faith in God, it would still remain an entirely separate argument, whether God exists in fact or not. Actually, I can explain the evolution of faith in God. People either accepted the Bible or they were run through with a sword, burnt at the stake, or sent packing for other lands. And if all that didn't work, they threatened people that their invisible boogeyman would come get them even after they died, make them alive again so that he could burn them every day for the rest of eternity. There's your explanation for the evolution of faith in God, Winston. Now, argument number 29, from skeptics. It is just as irrational to believe in God as it is to believe in Santa Claus. Winston replies, this is an absurd analogy. Winston, I'll admit it sounds absurd because even you, the great believer, don't believe in Santa Claus. You would laugh at people who did. Yet, embarrassingly, you have no more proof for your God than people do for their belief in Santa Claus. That's why it is not an absurd comparison. The only reason that someone who believed in Santa Claus would receive psychiatric help for their delusion, and religious believers do not, is for one reason and one reason only. There are too many of them. There is strength in numbers. When the numbers are small, the religion is called a cult. Once a threshold has been reached, it achieves the status of a religion. This happened to Scientology in 1994. He continues, again, there are a lot of credible people now and throughout history that have experienced God personally in some way, while there are very few, if any, people who claim to have seen Santa Claus flying around the night sky using a team of reindeer. Winston, you are so biased. When you refer to religious believers, you call them credible people. But you do not grant that status to Santa Claus believers because you are not one of them. Notice, Winston, how you based your position on the number of people who believe. You refer to religious people as a lot and throughout history. When you refer to Santa Claus believers, you said few, if any. Strength in numbers, Winston, but numbers do not equate to proof. Sometimes the minority is right. Your bias is also evident in the way you refer to religious people, personally experiencing God. Yet when Santa Claus believers personally experience their delusion, you dismiss them. That is very un-Winston-like. You have argued many times that someone's personal experience makes that experience real for the experiencer. Now you abandon that position you've quoted so many times when you come across a belief that even you don't accept. Can you prove there is no Santa Claus? Of course not. And they have exactly the same amount of evidence for their belief in Santa Claus as you do for your belief in God. Zippo. These people look at you, Winston, the very same way that you look at skeptics. How does it feel? Can you spell the word hypocrite? And Winston wraps up, as former naval scientist Eldon Byrd told me about his theistic view, I don't have to prove God exists. I know he exists. Just like I know how salt tastes, though I can't prove it to anyone. Winston, that is what people say when their gun is empty. He doesn't know any more than anyone else does. He simply believes, but is not honest enough to state it that way. And that is all for Winston Wu. And we're going to move now to the science segment and one of my favorite topics, interesting astronomy facts. Asteroid is a small planet. There are several types. There's the C type, carbonaceous, the M type, metallic. The largest asteroid is Ceres. It is 600 miles in diameter. The one that caused the dinosaur extinction was less than 10 miles. So you can imagine what would happen if Ceres ever struck Earth. 1983 TB is the name of an asteroid that may strike Earth in the year 2115, a little over 100 years from now. So that's a good reason to start smoking and drinking, to ensure that you won't be too healthy to be around in case it does hit us. The Big Bang is supported for three major reasons. One, an expanding universe. Two, it explains the abundance of hydrogen, 75%, helium, 23%, and lithium, 1% in the universe. Add those three and you've accounted for 99%. And reason number three, microwave radiation, which comes evenly from all directions of the universe. A black hole, an ultra-dense remnant of a burned-out star with a gravitational pull so strong not even light can escape. When the star implodes, if it has a mass less than three suns, that's our sun, then a neutron star will form instead. Black holes are detected by X-rays, which escape because they are released from the black hole's event horizon as gaseous material begins to descend into the hole. And how does a black hole end? It just evaporates away. Elements. The most common elements in our solar system are 1, hydrogen, 2, helium, 3, oxygen, and 4, carbon. Galaxies. They are arranged along the surface of a bubble-like structure. Jupiter. The red spot that you see through a telescope is a permanent stationary hurricane. The L1 point. That is the point at which the Earth's gravity and the Sun's gravity cancel each other. It is located approximately 1 million miles from Earth. Measurement. A parsec, which is short for parallax second, is equal to 3.2 light years, which is interesting because the closest star to our solar system is 3.2 light years away. Therefore, it is 1 parsec away. Mercury has polar ice caps because it is not tilted, as is the Earth. Therefore, sunlight barely grazes the caps. Temperatures in some craters never rise above minus 240 degrees. On Mercury, meteor showers occur at the same time each year as Earth passes through their orbit. And now the arena goes abroad. A 5-year-old boy was found dead, his head in a bucket with water, in a toilet of an ashram school run by Godman Asaram Bapu in Pradesh, India. Just 3 days before, another boy had died under similar circumstances. And in early July, the bodies of two boys, 9 and 10, studying in the Godman's ashram school, were found in a dried-up riverbed. From one, liver and sternum were missing. The other had no more ears, a fact that seemed to indicate that they had become victims of a human sacrifice. When police tried to hush up the cases and supporters of the God-man started violent agitation in his defense, infuriated people of the neighborhood went on a rampage. Bapu, who is 68 years old, a former cycle shop boy, is one of the richest and most powerful Indian God-men, with more than 100 ashrams all over the country and 1,200 prayer centers around the world. He counts some 20 million followers, and his empire is estimated to be worth half a billion rupees. That's more than $180 million. He reigns with terror and violence. Devotees are scared and beaten into absolute submission. Equating himself with Shiva, the Hindu god of destruction, he threatens to destroy anybody with his curse who would question and criticize him. In his book, Guru Bhakti, he orders his devotees to use violence against critics, even to cut out their tongues. Meantime, the police claim the murderer in the Chindwara ashram was a 14-year-old student, but skepticism remains. In Varghese, father of one of the dead boys, he went on a hunger strike to press for an independent investigation. The chief minister promised one, but so far there are no results. Whatever may or may not turn out to be behind the new string of shocking murders in his ashrams, they have unleashed a wave of public fury against Bapu. People are no longer ready to close their eyes from the crimes of holy men. There is a new awareness developing in this country, and I am very, very happy about it. That is why more and more God-men are being exposed, commented Sonal Ida Maruku, head of the Indian Rationalist Association. And now for the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Edwin Hubble, born 1889, died 1953 at the age of 63. He was an American astronomer. He profoundly changed astronomers' understanding of the nature of the universe by demonstrating the existence of other galaxies beside the Milky Way. He also discovered that the degree of redshift observed in light coming from a galaxy increased in proportion to the distance of that galaxy from the Milky Way. This became known as Hubble's Law and would help establish that the universe is expanding. The quote from Edwin Hubble: equipped with his five senses, man explores the universe around him and calls the adventure science.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.